This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
We call BS! They say guns are just tools like knives and are as dangerous as cars. We call BS! No, they say that no laws could have been able to prevent the hundreds of senseless tragedies that have occurred. We call BS!
Enough is enough. Students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School speak out against gun violence.
What we really need is action. Because we can say, yes, we're going to do all these things, thoughts and prayers. What we need more than that is action. Please.
As students plan to take action in Tallahassee, they'll be going face to face with lawmakers like House Speaker Designate Jose Oliva.
You don't take a car off the road because someone rented a U-Haul and ran it into some people in New York City. You know, I know that it's the natural reaction to come back to this, but does this not happen in places with very strong gun laws? I think it does.
Also this week, when it comes to our health care and the sea of health insurance options for seniors, we hear how some are overjoyed with Medicare Advantage.
At the Veterans Center and all, they all just rave about it, how great it is, and they all are able to maintain their quality of life because of Medicare Advantage.
And the federal government says it's opening up Florida's Gulf Coast to oil and gas exploration.
Folks that remember the Deepwater Horizon know that that was over 150 miles away. So just because there's oil and gas exploration that isn't in Florida's waters doesn't mean that that doesn't have a potential impact on us.
All that and more coming up on episode 138 of The Rotunda. The deadliest school shooting since Sandy Hook erupted last week as authorities say a 19-year-old man with a troubled past and an AR-15 rifle stalked the halls of Parkland's Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. Here's student David Hogg, who survived.
What this sick person did is he pulled the fire alarm. He pulled the fire alarm to get all of the people out of the rooms, and we were part of that. We started walking out without even thinking about it twice. And as a result, when we were walking out to our designated fire zone, there was a flood of people running in the opposite direction, telling us to go the other way.
Expelled from the school over disciplinary problems, Nicholas Cruz was taken into custody after squeezing off shot after shot as students took cover under desks, as fire alarms blared and teachers barricaded classrooms. By the time it was over, 17 people were dead or dying, and 16 were wounded.
Oh my God.
News quickly reached the Florida Capitol.
That was a sad time. We saw it while we were on the floor of the House.
That's Democratic Representative Sean Shaw of Tampa.
When a mentally disturbed individual can get a gun, go to a school, and shoot that many kids, damn it, if that doesn't get you excited and ready to make some change about gun laws in this country and in the state, I don't know what will.
So you're closer to actually making changes here. What's stopping you from putting in those
stopgaps? This legislature as a whole has no desire, it appears, to do anything to address the proliferation of guns on our streets. I mean, there's several bills that have been filed that have not gotten a hearing, that have languished. In fact, this legislature has a desire to do the opposite. We want to let people have guns in churches, at airports, at schools, at colleges. We want more guns on the streets. That's what this legislature has made a policy decision to do. While I disagree with that, I'm but one member.
But when it comes to doing something, Republican leadership isn't too quick to act. House Speaker Designate Jose Oliva tried to convince a gaggle of reporters that the focus was in the wrong place, that it should be on mental health, not guns.
But the real question is, rather than just jump to the idea of this would not have happened but for, first find out why it happened. Secondly, where a person got a gun. And third, show some legitimate proof that there's somewhere in this country that has extremely strict gun laws where these things are avoided.
Yeah,
it's a mental illness problem. And I think we have to continue as a society to put a much greater focus on the prevention, not by eliminating guns, because you can't eliminate renting U-Haul trucks. You can't eliminate people getting on airplanes. What you have to figure out is, what is the underlying problem? And that's obviously, it's a condition of mental illness.
As the hours and days went by, the pressure started to mount. Florida's Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam delayed his proposal that would allow people in some circumstances to get a concealed carry permit without a complete background check. The provision was tucked into an agriculture bill, and it would have allowed an applicant to get concealed weapons permit if Florida officials didn't complete the background checks within 90 days. Kate Kyle with the group Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America says to her, that part of Senate Bill 740 makes no sense.
Background checks are one of the most important pieces of keeping Floridians safe. Our main objective is to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous individuals. So we don't understand why a proposal like this would be advanced, especially in light of recent events.
Throughout the Capitol, Democrats remained concerned but appeared powerless as to whether they can get something done. Here's Sean Shaw of Tampa.
How many more of these do we need to have before we agree that there's a problem that we, as a legislature, can address? I think one is enough.
And here's Senator Gary Farmer of Fort Lauderdale.
Did we see it after Columbine? Did we see it after Connecticut? Did we see it after any of these events? People come out and they profess thoughts and prayers. I grieve with these families. I lived less than 2 miles from this school for 10 years. We know some of the victims' families. Okay, I grieve for these people. But we must move beyond thoughts and prayers. It is time for action.
But outside the Capitol, far away from the halls of power, are the voices of students and concerned parents, friends, and family who believe they can make a change. Here's Emma Gonzalez at a press conference standing alongside Senator Gary Farmer.
Politicians who sit in their gilded House and Senate seats funded by the NRA telling us nothing could have ever been done to prevent this. We call BS! That tougher gun laws do not decrease gun violence. We call BS! They say a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. We call BS! They say guns are just tools like knives and are as dangerous as cars. We call BS! No, they say that no laws could have been able to prevent the hundreds of senseless tragedies that have occurred. We call BS! Us kids don't know what we're talking about, that we're too young to understand how the government works. We call BS! If you agree, register to vote. Contact your local congresspeople. Give them a piece of your mind.
These students said it all. They welcome debate. They welcome comfort. And most of all, they are demanding action.
Just like Tinker v. Des Moines, we are going to change the law. That's going to be Marjorie Stoneman Douglas in that textbook, and it's all going to be due to the tireless effort of the school board, the faculty members, the family members, and most importantly, the students. The students! The students who are dead, the students still in the hospital, the students who are now suffering from PTSD, the students who had panic attacks during the vigil because the helicopters who wouldn't leave us alone, hovering over the school 24 hours a day.
The teens are planning to travel to Tallahassee on Tuesday to lobby legislators for gun control. They're also organizing a march in Washington, D.C. on March 24th. They're appearing on national TV to question why the country's leaders have not done something to end gun violence. To keep track of this movement, check out social media where never again the hashtag is spreading and going viral.
We're children. You guys are the adults. You need to take some action and play a role. Work together, come over your politics, and get something done.
Again, students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School will travel to Tallahassee on Tuesday and Wednesday for a march on the state capitol in the first organized protest of their Never Again movement. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contribution to rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. And as always, thanks for your support. Before we wrap, let's switch gears and discuss healthcare. I'm sharing a story of a man who, by all accounts, says he's just overjoyed with life.
You know, I go out dancing and I go out enjoying life every day, and I go to all the concerts I possibly can go to. And my quality of life, I'm just very happy with it.
That's Tallahassee resident Julius Glover.
Okay, let me increase the volume of my phone so we can talk. I'm 74 years old, and the hearing's not as good as it used to be.
Well, there are so many things that aren't as good as they used to be, but when it comes to health insurance, Julius Glover is all too eager to talk about how good things are now with his Medicare Advantage plan.
All right, so I just wanted to talk with you about your experience. So you are, tell me about yourself. You are 74 years old?
Yes, sir, I am, and I retired from the state of Florida, and I was a life safety, fire safety engineer, and I live alone. And my doctor says I have superior health because, you know, I got to maintain myself. And it wasn't for my insurance, I wouldn't be able to do that. I have prostate cancer. I've had it for over 10 years. And I had some lung problems as well. And I have been able to maintain my quality of life because of the Medicare Advantage that I do have.
For a quick background on what Medicare Advantage is all about, I called up Catherine Donaldson with the Coalition for Medicare Choices.
So as for background on what that is, when someone signs up, when they turn 65 or during that, or they have a disability, and then they go and sign up during open enrollment period, they have the option of choosing a traditional Medicare plan or a Medicare Advantage plan. And a Medicare Advantage plan typically offers, it's about the same price, and typically offers more benefits, it's more affordable, and it really helps these individuals on a path towards long-term wellness. So Medicare Advantage is overseen by the federal government, kind of like Medicare, but it's offered by a private health plan. But it does offer a little bit more comprehensive medical coverage for those over 65 and those with disabilities.
Julius Glover, who always gets an early start to his day with a few built-in daytime naps, of course, says he and his friends are taking advantage of the program.
All my friends and all my seniors and all my cohorts that I stay in contact with at the Veteran Center and all, they all just rave about it, how great it is, and they all are able to maintain their quality of life because of Medicare Advantage.
So Catherine Donaldson, in turning to Washington, the federal government is determining how much funding it will provide to Medicare Advantage. While Advantage plans are receiving bipartisan support, what more are you hoping that they will do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you brought up a really great point, which is we've continued to see bipartisan support for this program, and that's because it works so well. Right now, when we're looking at our overall healthcare system, there are certainly areas for improvement, but the Medicare Advantage program is a perfect example and really a great case study for how well this type of health insurance works, right? So what we're trying to do is we're working with people who have Medicare Advantage, and we're trying to communicate a couple of things. First of all, Medicare Advantage provides choice. It provides a number of different benefits for people. They can select a plan that best meets their needs. A lot of Medicare Advantage plans include prescription drug programs. A lot of them are available at a $0 premium. There's a cap on out-of-pocket costs. And then also the second piece of it is innovation. So Medicare Advantage plans, because they are offered through a private insurer, offer a lot of innovative solutions for seniors and those with disabilities and offer a lot of different options for them, including fitness options, dental, hearing, mental health, vision, et cetera.
How many people are taking advantage of Medicare Advantage around the country and here in Florida?
I mean, year over year, millions of more Americans are choosing a Medicare Advantage plan. So right now, I think 20 million Americans have chosen a Medicare Advantage plan. This is a third of Medicare beneficiaries overall. And 90% are satisfied with their coverage because it provides them not only the care that they need and the support that they need, but these preventative care programs, these fitness programs. So it really puts them on a path towards long-term wellness. And in Florida alone, I think it's around more than 1.8 million Florida residents rely on Medicare Advantage for their health care. So when people go to sign up, we want to encourage them to look and find a plan that best meets their needs. But these Medicare Advantage plans offer choice, offer innovation, and offer affordability.
For Julius Glover, he's happy to be part of that 1.8 million, and he's calling on lawmakers to focus on making improvements to healthcare in the country.
You know, one day they're going to be senior as well if they not already are a senior. You know, they're going to wish they had it as well as we do. Extremely happy what I've got, you know, and I've heard nothing negative about it. You know, I can speak well of it and feel comfortable about it and recommend it to others.
To learn more about Medicare Advantage, visit MedicareChoices.org. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. The Interior Department announced plans late Friday to hold the largest sale of oil and gas leases in U.S. history. The plans include auctioning off more than 77 million acres of offshore waters to drilling, covering coastal areas of Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, as well as parts of the Florida Gulf Coast. It excludes areas protected under a 2006 congressional moratorium, which bans drilling within 125 miles of the Florida coast until 2022. However, Holly Parker with the Surfrider Foundation says the announcement proves the Trump administration's willingness to allow drilling anywhere it can.
I think it does demonstrate the need to protect Florida permanently from oil and gas exploration. It's clear that this administration's energy policy is drilling everywhere and anywhere, regardless of environment and impact and coastal communities.
Governor Rick Scott struck a deal with the Trump administration to exclude Florida from any nearshore drilling plans, but many question whether the deal will hold. The auction is scheduled for March 21st. So we were supposed to recap the Sanctuary Cities debate between House Speaker Richard Corcoran and Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. But with the news coming out of Parkland, Florida, everything was adjusted and shifted. But for a brief review, here's one of the moderators, Gary Finout, with the Associated Press.
Who won? Oh, I don't know who won. I mean, I think they hit the messages that they wanted to. We tried to keep the debate on the topic that was agreed to by both sides, and there were some moments there where, you know, there was some discussion of broader immigration issues. You know, we had more time. It would have been great to get into some of those, but you only had so much time and you couldn't get into everything.
Did you learn anything new from this? Did they say anything that revealed something different about this whole immigration issue?
Well, in terms of their positions, I'm not sure I learned anything, hugely revealing. I think that, obviously there was some questions that weren't really answered. And then that to me was more part of it. I mean, we didn't really have Mayor Gillum answer definitively on the other bill that had been filed. Speaker Corcoran kind of asked him that a couple of times, and he did not directly respond to that question.
Yeah.
And I think that there were, some other things in which, the speaker didn't really want to address some of the things that Mayor Gillum mentioned. There were several times you heard Mayor Gillum mention, and I think until I asked directly about the ad itself, I had noticed that he was very, what's the word I want to look for? Say, he won, and the debate was about HB9, and the question is, you know, as part of that, you talk about the ad, because the ad's what's prompted the debate. And so that was it. It was kind of interesting, the conversation going back and forth as to the ad and whether or not they were going to discuss the ad or whether or not they were just going to discuss HB9.
As far as the showmanship of the debate, you were in the midst of it all, so you're probably going to see it at the end from where I was sitting. And the last touch of Corcoran hitting the podium there, the theatrics of it all. Who will come out of this of making a really good presentation?
You know, I just can't. What I would say to you is they both tried very hard to answer the questions, even though, of course, they did it in a particular way where they hit their talking points. I'm going to be interested to see what others thought about it and how they felt the debate succeeded or did not succeed.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.